Hello, I'm Andrew Tuck and you're listening to Tall Stories on Monocle 24, brought to you by the team behind The Urbanist, the show all about the cities we live in. As hospitality reopens just in time for the end of summer sun, you may be planning your first excursion out. It's something Monocle's Christy Evans has been thinking about a lot, and after taking inspiration from some of her lockdown reads, she takes us on a journey through London with a tour of Charles Dickens pubs.
Passing the old press houses, I duck down a narrow, covered alley. Pushing on through a group of tourists hesitating by the front door, I enter the dimly lit confines that is ye old Cheshire Cheese. Treading on sawdust, I step into the first room to my right. The door mantle reads, "Gentlemen only," but don't worry, that rule has long since gone. The room itself is small. It can comfortably fit five people, but dozens are crammed inside to get warm by the fire, which was once adorned with pornographic tiles. Walking back into the main passage, passing the chop room and heading to the stairs, I glance at the booking's chalkboard. The only name listed is a familiar one, Charles Dickens. The passage downward lead me to the cavernous chambers of the lower vaults, which are said to predate the rest of the 17th century building. Instead, I head on up the pinched staircase to one of the four floors of drinking parlours, and select an ill-lit, wooden-panelled room before grabbing a pew. Rebuilt shortly after the Great Fire of London in 1666, the Grade II listed building was a staunch favourite of Dickens, as well as other literary greats, including Alfred Tennyson and Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. The distinct lack of natural light helps transport you back to a time where a hot whiskey and water would warm you up on a wet day in 1833. But that daydream is often broken by the snapping of a tourist's camera or the loud drawl of a visiting American. The other downside is that it's owned by a chain brewery, as are many of the public houses featured on our trail. The drinks may be cheap, but the food is mediocre and overpriced. A shame, since the fair was once a source of succour and respite for the weary, as alluded to in Dickens's A Tale of Two Cities.
Drawing his arm through his own, he took him down Ludgate Hill to Fleet Street, and so up a covered way into a tavern. Here they were shown into a little room where Charles Darnay was soon recruiting his strength with a good plain dinner and good wine.
Dickens incorporated many of his favourite establishments into his novels, and so, if we're to keep up with them all, we'd better get a move on. Our journey is akin to that of the adventures of Mr. Pickwick and his comrades in the Pickwick Papers, who never seem to be too far from a warming drink or a filling meal. The George and Vulture Chop House in the city is mentioned several times in the novel under the alias of the Blue Boar.
"Why then,"
said the boy,
"you was to come to him at 6 o'clock to our house? 'Cause he wants to see you. Blue Boar, Leadenhall Market. Shall I say you're coming?"
There has been an inn on the site since 1142, and was said to be the meeting place of a notorious hellfire club throughout the 1730s. We have to be quick getting a table though, as it's only open for lunch and closed on the weekends. It wasn't just Mr. Pickwick who enjoyed such fine hospitality. His landlady, Mrs. Bardell, made the trip to the Spaniards Inn shortly before her incarceration at Fleet Street Prison.
"Well, Mr. Ruddle,"
said Mrs. Bardell,
"I'm sure you ought to feel very much honoured at you and Tommy being the only gentleman to escort so many ladies all the way to the Spaniards at Hampstead."
Built in 1585 as a tollgate, the Spaniards Inn has seen plenty of history. The Grade II listed building is allegedly the birthplace of Dick Turpin, as his father was the landlord in the early 1700s. And Keats is said to have penned Ode to a Nightingale on this very spot. While the likes of Pickwick visited fine public houses, the crooks and criminals of Dickens's world favoured dens of a sordid nature. A bar frequented by the infamous Bill Sykes and Oliver Twist, the Three Cripples, is described by Dickens as thus.
"The room was illuminated by two gaslights, the glare of which was prevented by the barred shutters and closely drawn curtains of faded red from being visible outside. The ceiling was blackened to prevent its colour from being injured by the flaring of the lamps, and the place was so full of dense tobacco smoke that at first it was scarcely possible to discern anything more.
The pub in question is actually known as the One Ton, located in Farringdon. At the time Oliver Twist was penned, the area was a major slum until the 1840s, when the shantytown was demolished. If you were to visit now, the atmosphere would be much changed. The tobacco smoke, gas lights and curtains are all long gone, giving way to a lighter, airier feel. The ceiling is tiled, giving a hint at what might have been, but all in all, it's a vastly different place to that of Dickens's time. If you want something more in keeping with ye olde England, walk down the busy Borough High Street, and you'll come across two large wooden gates emblazoned with the George's emblem. Featured briefly in Little Dorrit, this inn is especially of interest because it is the last galleried coaching inn in London. The current building dates back to 1542, but had to be rebuilt in 1676 after a devastating fire, a common occurrence it seems for that time. Continue on through the gates and you'll be immediately presented with a rather sizeable courtyard in which Shakespearean plays were performed, but now has a good view of the Shard. Much like the Cheshire Cheese, there is a vast array of oak-beamed bars and wood-panelled rooms to get lost in, including a bar in the actual courtyard, which is filled with customers year-round. If it's not too busy, locate the middle bar for a view of Charles Dickens's life insurance policy. Come for the character, but maybe don't stay for the food. Dickens's last work, Our Mutual Friend, is possibly his least well-known. However, that doesn't mean the featured watering holes are any less worth exploring. The grapes thinly disguised as
the six jolly fellowship porters, already mentioned as a tavern of a dropsical appearance, had long settled down into a state of hale infirmity. In its whole constitution, it had not a straight floor and hardly a straight line, but it had outlasted, and clearly would yet outlast, many a better trimmed building, many a sprucer public house.
How right Dickens was. Situated in Wapping, the building dates back to 1720, although there has been a public house on the site since 1583. Located on the aptly named Narrow Street, the structure is
a narrow, lopsided wooden jumble of corpulent windows heaped one upon another as you might heap as many toppling oranges, with a crazy wooden veranda impending over the water.
It's sometimes tough to find a table, especially during the Sunday roast rush. Interestingly, Sir Ian McKellen co-owns the pub and is sometimes known to host a pub quiz. Look out for the Gandalf staff behind the bar. With many of these taverns cleaving to their histories, it seems that the novels have influenced the places as much, if not more, than they influenced the stories. Indeed, a city with as rich a history as London can be almost indistinguishable at times from fiction. What is clear is that Dickens's favourite haunts have certainly exceeded my greatest of expectations. For Monocle, I'm Christy Evans.
You've been listening to Tall Stories, a Monocle 24 production, and our thanks to Christy Evans for today's episode. Remember to tune in every Thursday for the full 30-minute edition of The Urbanist. I'm Andrew Tuck, goodbye, and thank you for listening, City Lovers.